if I thought my voice would hold up, I'd lead and sing, but you can thank me later for not trying it. If you'll turn with me to Acts 4th chapter, it gets harder as the days pass to get down here this late in the day. I'll go as long as is possible. I sat there Monday morning, which was a very difficult morning spiritually, all morning long. As a matter of fact, I think Monday morning had about a month of Mondays packed in it. And the little tune, or I don't know, maybe a poem, talking about Christmas Eve, all to the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. That thing just kept running and running through my head, and you know where it came from, I don't know. But you know how when you get something like that on your mind. So I just picked up my pen, and as the old folks used to say, just started doodling, scribbling with my pen. And I ended up with, 'twas the day after Sunday, and all through the mind, many a creature was stirring, many a sound was heard. The silence was gone. Speaking of that peace, quietness, and contentment within, silence was gone. And I sat greatly disturbed. No hope for tomorrow, or the light it might bring. I was stuck in the moment, and there it seemed forever I'd remain. And then I got thinking about you on Sunday morning, and 'twas the minute after the message where once silence had prevailed. This only in the outward is all that I can tell. For inwardly in the mind, only the individual knows if the noise were so loud, the voice of God went unheard. So that was my Monday morning. Instead of getting anywhere spiritually, and it's been a tough day doing the same thing today, I do trust that through the prayers of those that have let me know they would be praying, and through your prayers that the Lord will help tonight. Give words to speak and give you ears to hear. Don't get caught up with just a form, satisfied because you're here. But I want to speak to you, the Lord helping, as I said tonight, from Acts 4:13. Last few words they had been with Jesus. Begin reading in a few minutes a little further up in the chapter. Before we read though, would you bow with me as we seek our Father's face. Oh Lord, you've given us this time. The physical strength to get here. And now we ask for that mental ability, strength to hear. And a heart to understand. And a will. You working within us to apply this to our lives. Be gracious and merciful unto us in opening thy word. And as the psalmist of long ago prayed, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. And we say out of thy word, and the occurrence shortly after the day of Pentecost. Make them more than just words to us. Give meaning to the individual hearts. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Acts 4. They've thrown a couple of the disciples in jail. And the next morning they bring them out and set them in the midst of the council and said, who gave you the authority? By what name have you done this? In verse number 8, beginning, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, the religious hierarchy there, if we this day be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole, be it known unto you and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before your souls, before you hold. This is a stone which was set at naught of you builders, which has become the head of the corner. All of you, mark this in mind, keep it in mind, this verse. Neither is there salvation in any other. Not my good deeds, not my works, not any actions that I might perform in reference to God, to Christ. Salvation is totally in this one name. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. For you would think that that would be enough to convince them that there was something extraordinary in that man. But it never did. Now going back to last Sunday morning, I said before you what Christ said to the disciples, I call ye friends. And to have a friend of that magnitude, of that honor, dignity, and to have a friend that great, it would be a dishonor on our part not to be with him every opportunity that we had. And yet we abuse, we misuse, and we do not apply ourselves to be with He who said, "You are my friends." Now I told the disciples, "It'll be long before you'll all be very sorrowful. I'm leaving you. I'm departing. But your sorrow shall be turned to joy. The reason is that I will send you the Comforter, one alongside of you. He shall testify of me. He'll take of mine and show it unto you. And when you become forgetful, then He will bring things back to your mind that are needful. He will manifest me to you." And after the Spirit of God descended on the day of Pentecost, from then on they will have a greater revelation of the Lord Jesus than they ever did while He was here in the flesh on the earth. Some folks say, "If I could just have looked into His face, if I could have seen Him, if I could have sat at His feet and hear Him, then my life would be so different than it is now." No, it wouldn't. Good possibility that you would never have seen God in that man, would never have heard God in His words. You have a greater opportunity to know the Lord Jesus than did any in that day, including His disciples. And now what they gained by the Spirit of God descending had a great effect and will forever, forever be directing them to Him. Now I speak to you this evening about a relationship that is almost lost. You with Jesus. We live in an age when an individual can accept Jesus, but nothing ever happens in their lives. Things continue without any change whatsoever. They don't trade their old master for a new one. Their old Lord for a new Lord. They get up the day after, quote unquote, they accepted Jesus, and they still got the same old boss. And that's the one that stares them in the mirror every time they look. The only difference now is that somebody told them, "You do this and now you are a child of God," then you punched your ticket into heaven. No. The ones that God saved, a change begins taking place in their life that will proceed throughout their lifetime here. I don't know the change that will be continual throughout eternity. I know that by knowing Him, seeing Him, we're changed into His same image now. And the more you know of Him, spiritually speaking, the greater He becomes. And we'll be pupils throughout eternity. Now you can't grasp that. Neither can I. It's beyond natural man's comprehension. We think we get to the end of all things, but not God. God is infinite. God is beyond description. And the whole purpose of salvation is God bringing sinners nigh unto Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you ever get there, and you will get there if you're a child of God, it endears Him, the Lord of glory, and He eventually becomes the love of your hearts. It is said of Mr. Barnard, of those that knew him as he was nearing the end of his age, that he never lost what he called his sweetheart love for Jesus. Have you fallen in love with him? Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, that which I had with you from the very foundation of the world. And that was his will in John 17. That was his will as God. That was not a included in his prayer. Changed over from that of a prophet and teacher, great high priest praying there in John 17 to his sovereign will. I will that they be with me. Philippians chapter 1. I only got this and two more verses I'd like to share with you. First chapter of the little epistle to the Philippians. Verse number 29. Philippians 1:29. For unto you it is given, in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on Him, two things here. Number one, the ability to believe is the gift of God. Not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Now, none of us have enough of the power of God upon us that our life is not offensive to anybody. Anybody out there will tolerate you. They might make a gesture behind your back, a little smirky laugh with their friend about you being so dedicated, but that's as far as it'll go. Right now, nobody will attack you. But we shall suffer for His sake. You being with Jesus Christ, they took knowledge of them, that they had been with Jesus. You being with Jesus is a sovereign work of God, whereby He gives you a heart to believe. And the faith that God implants, Ephesians 2 said that it is a gift of God. You weren't born with it. All men have not faith, Paul said, so you weren't born with it. It's not yours to call into exercise when the preacher invites you down to the front of the church. It's a gift of God. God enabled you to believe in the Lord Jesus. But once God implants that faith, it is a lifelong, ongoing, growing, establishing work. Ephesians 4, till we all come together in the unity of the faith, all of us, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man. That word perfect means full grown. If God implants faith, then that will continue to enlarge itself in your heart. That will continue to be establishing you in truth. You will be growing in grace and in knowledge. And it will continue to draw you after the one who eventually you can say, He has captivated my heart. That's Christianity, folks. We're 100 miles from true Christianity. This is true Christianity. Being with Jesus, not in glory, in time. If you've got faith, somewhere down the road, there's going to be a love in your heart for the Lord Jesus that is beyond husband, wife, son, daughter, mother, father. He's going to outshine them as the sun outshines the moon. And those of you that have, maybe for brief moments, come to be with Jesus in the privacy of your own little closet and your own little world. If you get there, then everything here fades into the distant background. And being in His presence, nothing draws your heart away. And there being with the Lord Jesus, He inclines and persuades you with open hands and open heart till He becomes the chief joy and delight of your soul. And there that shortly of moment when it is just you and the Lord, you find His yoke easy. And that which had been a heavy load upon your shoulders, you find it taken away and replaced with a rest in your soul that you've never known before. That's being with Jesus. There He takes the reign of your heart. And there He begins to control your very being. There have been mornings and times, personally, that I've had those moments. And He has been so endeared that my plea with the Lord at that time is, Lord, let me take Him, the one in whose presence I now abide. Let me just take Him to my mother's house. And I go away with that in the third chapter of the Song of Solomon. I sought Him by night on my bed. In the darkest of the midnight hour, I sought Him, but I could not find Him. And I got up and I went about the city and through the streets there. And I ran into the watchmen, those that ought to have known and been able to have told me where the one I loved was. It was but a little that I passed from them. And I found Him whom my soul loved. And I would not let Him go until I had brought Him into my mother's house and into the chamber of her that conceived me. Do you ever get so? Or does Christ ever become such a being to your soul that you'd just like to take Him to the church house? That's Christianity, children. I lost the watchman, they didn't know. Couldn't find Him in the back alleys of the streets. Nobody knew. But he who loves your soul will not stay long away from you. When you are one with him, and it can be said of you, folk took knowledge, he or she had been with Jesus. There will be many things in your life that will reflect that. I want to read to you. I think I could quote it. I enjoy it so much. The old hymn that sometimes we sing, of written by Isaac Watts. How sweet and awful is the place. Now, the sense in which they used awful is not that which is used today. We would use the word awesome. But Isaac Watts said, how sweet and awful is the place with Christ within the doors, while everlasting love displays the choices of her stores. That's what being here ought to mean to you. That's what you ought to receive in your soul. Well, if I had a better preacher, I probably would get more. Could possibly be true. But then part of it is your responsibility to come prepared to receive, so that when you get here, you meet him. Hear every bowel of our God. That's how much the church means to him. With soft compassion rolls, your peace and pardon bought with blood is food for tasteless souls. We sing another. How tedious and tasteless the hours when Jesus no longer I see. Sweet prospects, sweet birds, sweet flowers have all lost their sweetness to me. Nothing out there. The midsummer sun shines but dim. The fields strive in vain to look gay. But when I am happy in him, December is as pleasant as May. You ever been with Jesus to that degree? Now I ask you the age-old question one more time. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence against you to convict you in a court of law? Young ones, middle age, and beyond, there's no one that you can be around for any length of time which will not have an effect upon you. And I remind you once again, you never catch help from anybody. You always catch disease. So those that you're around, you've got to be strong, or you will pick up their weakness, their disease. You're going to be affected. There's no doubt about it. Well, the old, no, it was Spurgeon that said, there's not a dust particle that rises from the chariot wheel in which God is not in control and designs the place to which it will go. And one of the other old writers said, there's not a grain of sand moved from the seashore in which the balance of nature is not changed in some way. You are affected by every event, by every individual. And the more that you are around individuals, the greater the effect they're going to have on you. And it ought to be you affecting them. So for you to affect them, you got to be with Jesus. The change may be so gradual that you not have any awareness of being changed. Nobody raised in the church and raised with dedicated parents are going to walk away just like that. It's going to be a gradual departing. Miss one Sunday in 2 months. And then miss 2 Sundays in 6 weeks. More and more and more. But somewhere in the past, a teacher or some adult that had influence over them may have thrown a doubt in their mind as to the validity of Scripture. Men of old wrote, you can't prove it's the Word of God, it's filled with error. I challenge you again to find or show me any error. You'll be hard pressed to do it. And I guarantee you, if you run across an error, it's not in the Scripture. It's in your mind that there seems to be a contradiction in Scripture. But somewhere somebody threw a doubt in your mind of the validity and inspiration of Scripture. You thought you passed it off, but that seed was implanted. Every word, every thought, all is implanted within. Everything. Whether they meant to or not. A friend you may have had, you may still have, says to you, well, I never attend the services and I'm better than most that go. They're probably telling you the truth if they're thinking only in the outward sense. Because there's a lot of hypocrites in the church. You've heard this, well, I'm not going to church and sit with a bunch of hypocrites. I don't know if my dad heard this or borrowed it from someone or what, but I heard him tell a man that told him that. He said, I tell you what, I'd rather sit in church with a bunch of hypocrites than go to hell with them. They'll always be those that profess one thing and live differently. A young person throws doubt in your mind, tells you, well, I got saved when I was 6 years old and I can do whatever I want to now. They planted a seed that will have lasting consequences if you do not have that which will offset it. And the only thing that will offset it, it won't be the words of the preacher. It won't be him telling you that the Bible is inspired, it's accurate. It won't be him telling you that there are hypocrites around. It'll be you being with Jesus. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Don't be so foolish to think that the words of people and the actions of people will have no effect upon you. It will. First Corinthians 15:33, be not deceived. Evil communications. Let me give you two more words that'll help you in our day in the English. Companionship. Communion. Evil communion corrupts good manners. See, you're going to have to become like those that you run with, or they're not going to let you run with them. And whatever they tell you, it's just like, and I don't know how the CDs work, but the old, and I suspect it's similar, though not the same, the old 45 or 33 records that made grooves in them. And once they fixed that, and we fixing used to be cassettes, after they were recorded, you could dip them or send them through some process that they would contain that forever. So there's this little needle spinning around in your mind, making indents upon your heart with everything you hear. Well, it doesn't affect me. You're lying to yourself if you think that. You're going to work with people that they're careless in their talk, they're indifferent to you, your claim as being a Christian, they don't care. Well, it doesn't bother me. Oh, yeah, it does. It does. It has an effect. And the only offset is being with Christ. Evil communications, evil communion corrupts good manners. Proverbs 13:20. Proverbs chapter 13, verse number 20. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. All wisdom was embedded in Jesus Christ when he was 33 years of age. He grew in wisdom. Before he became a man, all wisdom was his. You walk with a wise man, you'll be wise. But listen, a companion of fools shall be destroyed. You better be careful of your companionship. And I'm not referring to anybody in this building. I'm referring to your companionship outside. You're going to work with fools. You're not called. God said the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You're going to work with fools. You're going to hear the language of fools. You don't believe me? Go home and cut on your TV. No, don't do that. Go home and dwell on this for a minute. Let it soak in a little bit. A companion of fools shall be destroyed. Now I told you, those around you have an effect upon you, where you will admit it or know it or not. And so being with Christ is going to have a great effect upon you. You become wise. You get along with him, there'll be an awe and a reverence fixed in your soul that you don't have till you get there. You'll be kinder than you are right now. You may be kind. I'm not saying that. You will be kinder. You will become patient, dwelling with our patient Lord. You will become a pitying individual. You'll never scoff at an individual on the road to hell. but pity. Whether it can ever be expressed to them or not, I do not know. You may not, but you still pity them. Blind, ignorant, there'll be pity in your soul. There are a couple of verses that I've liked over the years. When God sent Jonah to Nineveh, He said, there's a lot of people down there and much cattle. God took notice of the four-footed beast out there. And He said, two sparrows are sold for a very, very small amount, but there's not a one of them falls to ground without my Father's knowledge. If He pities the beast, provides for them on a daily basis, combine all wealth, if we had wealth anymore, combine the wealth of all the world, and they couldn't feed the animals for a day. God does. Looking at them, how much more is His pity towards a human being? You fathers pity your children, and the writer said, as a father pitieth his children, so doth God pity His. Don't ever get to the point where you feel completely abandoned, God nowhere around. If you abide with Christ, if you can just be with Him, the longing in your soul will be greater. Why don't I love Him more than I do? Why is there so many distractions in my life? You get with Him and the effect is, why don't I serve Him greater with all my heart? You get with Him and you see more in Him to adore now than ever you did 10 years ago. You get with Him, there's a greater quietness and stillness within. And that brief moment that you're within Him, you get an insight. It creates a longing to know Him better. They took knowledge that they've been with Jesus. You get to know some people, and you duck out of the way. I mean, there's some just pity I do, would help in any way I could. Some I've talked to, but they refused anything, any kindness as far as helping them on with the Lord. There have been a few that I've seen in one aisle in the grocery store that I needed something down that aisle, but I'd go another direction. Usually the Lord lets me run smack dab into them, me trying to avoid them. But there's just some people, they're irritating, and you just don't want to fool with them. You get to know the Lord Jesus, and the more you know Him, the more you want to know Him. The more the heart runs after Him. And that brief moment there in the closet, the overall desire in your life switches emphasis to the point where He's glorified. All of the above comes from being with Him. Now, don't any of you walk out of here thinking the preacher avoids me. If I meet you on the highway and I don't throw up my hand, It's just my mind's a million miles away. You say, well, you better get it back in the car. You're riding down the road unless you hurt somebody. I know. But it's always, always running up there. Wise, reverence, kind, pitying, loving, longing for greater service to Him, greater adoration, all that. And as you age in Him, you become more mellow and more tender-hearted. Yet you stand firm on your belief. You never compromise for the sake of being tender-hearted and getting along with people. Stand. If you don't stand, then you've done greater harm to Christ than 10 years of service that folk have been watching you. Kind, mellow, tender-hearted, but don't be one of these that swaps and you become like the little chameleon lizard. If you're on a brown leaf, you become brown. On a green leaf, you become green. Be a Christian. And may it be said of you somewhere, and may in your depths of your soul you find out what it is to be with Jesus. They took knowledge that they had been with Jesus.